Ezekiel 34. It's a great chapter, and it tells us about God. Now, it's talking, we have to understand what's going on. The Jews have been taken captive. They are in a foreign land. Ezekiel is one of those taken captive. And Ezekiel is receiving prophecy of God about the future, about the kingdom that will come. Not where they are now, but the future. And it ties back a lot of the lessons of now. Now, we'll look at it and understand the way that God dealt with them and understand how God deals with us by picking up in verse number 11, "Thus saith Lord God, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out." If I was going to write a little note off to this verse to put it into a simpler understanding, I would say God is looking for you. God is looking for you. But specifically, who's he looking for? It says his sheep. So God, we know, is searching for those who do not believe and trying to draw them in that they will believe. So if you're here this morning and you've not accepted Christ, then God is looking for you. God is wanting you to come to him and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and have your sins washed away and have his divine nature come and dwell within you in the form of the Holy Spirit so that you can have that inner voice, that still small voice of God within. And so God is looking for you if you don't believe. But it says once we believe, once we pray and say, "God, I know I'm a sinner, and I know Jesus died for my sins. God, forgive my sins and save my soul. God, I give myself to you." After I've done that, God's still looking for me. He's keeping up with me. He's searching and seeking. He wants the lost to be found. He wants the wandering brought home. God is looking for you. God cares about you. God is wanting you to come in and be safe in his shelter and be loved and be blessed and be warmed and all of those things that we might associate with home and the Father's house and fed, right? He wants to take care of us. So the Lord searches and seeks after his sheep. Again, I understand the context here. He's talking about Israel. He's even talking about future Israel, because think about the Jews today. How many Jews are in Florida, right? And across around the world, Russia and all around the world, where they have been scattered and dispersed. And the Bible here, Ezekiel is prophesying that one day God is going to gather all of them back home to the land of Israel. That's what he's talking about. But in saying so and understanding how it relates to us, we can say God is looking for us. God is searching for us. He's wanting us to be where he is in his presence. Verse number 12, "As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them out of all the places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day." We alluded this morning in Sunday school about people who have been discouraged from church, offended and pushed away, and maybe even run off from a church. And let's think about that for just a minute. God is looking for them. God says, "I want to bring them all back in." And notice that last part of the verse where they were scattered during the dark and cloudy day. Yes, there have been some times in our lives and times in the lives of others where maybe we were discouragers or they were discouragers, but somehow we just couldn't stay together. We couldn't make it work. We couldn't stay as part of that church family, and so we had to move on. And what God is wanting to do is he's wanting to draw all those who are cast out, cast away, who feel unloved, unwanted. He wants all of us to be drawn back. See, God wants us to be together. God wants us to have a church family. And let me say to you, you need a church family. You need to have people that love you. You have people that care about you, that pray for you every day, that look for you when you're not there, search and seek, right? To take interest in your life, somebody you can call and pour your heart out to and cry over the phone with. You know, that's what a church is for. Not the only thing a church, but our church people, those are God put them there on purpose. We can talk to our church friends and family, our brothers and sisters, about things we might not tell anybody else. I can be vulnerable and weak in front of my church people, where I might not be able to do that in front of other people. God is so smart, isn't he? You know, isn't it great where we have a church where we can come in among these people and admit when we're wrong? How many of you like to admit when you're wrong? I didn't say how many of you know you've been wrong. I said how many of you like to admit to it. And the truth is, we don't like to admit to it. But isn't it great where we can feel safe to come into this room with these people and say, I was wrong. And nobody's going to attack us or say, see, I told you so. Right? But we can come in here and say we were wrong and feel safe and feel loved and feel included. And God says, I'm gathering a church. Even those that have been scattered, even those that have been run off, even those that didn't feel like they belonged, I want them all back home. So I'm going to search and I'm going to seek and I'm going to bring them. What's going to happen when they come together? Verse 14, I will feed them in a good pasture. He said, I'm going to take care of you. I want to provide for you. I want to bless you. I want you to prosper. I want you to thrive. How many of you want to thrive? I want to thrive. How do we thrive? What does that mean to thrive? Well, for many of us, thriving would be better health. It would be better peace. Some, it would be more joy. You know, however it is that we identify that, God has different functions, different purposes in our lives, but he wants us to thrive. I'm going to tell you something. Last night we got home and we were settled in after the church dinner. And my son looked at me and he said, can I have some ice cream? Son, how can you still be hungry? You see, God doesn't want us to be hungry. He wants us to be full. He wants us to be satisfied. Now, there will be times in our lives, and the Bible even speaks to this. He said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. But that's a desire of spiritual things. It's not a need that's in our belly. God wants us to have our needs met. God wants us to have provision. He wants us to feel blessed and to feel like we've not been abandoned. He wants that in our lives. Yes, there will be seasons when we're hungry. There will be seasons when we lack. That's all part of the testing of life. But God wants us to be in a place where we are satisfied. He said, I will feed them in a good pasture. Verse 14 continues, upon the high mountains of Israel shall be their fold. Well, why on the high mountains? Why? Because it's cooler there. Why? Because there's less danger there. Why? Because there's no flooding there. Why? Because there's where the sun shines. There's where the blessings are. There we're not in the shadow. There we're not in the clouds, in the darkness of the valleys. And so he says, on the mountains shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, a safe place. A safe place. Y'all see that? And in a fat pasture. I just want to say that when the word used, when the Bible put the term fat in that verse, it meant it for good. A fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains. What's he saying? Again, he wants us to be in a place where we need nothing. Oh, pastor, is that prosperity preaching? Oh, no, 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 no. You don't need a jet. I don't need a jet. Helicopter, on the other hand. See, when we talk about God's favor and God's blessing and God's prosperity, we're not talking about frivolous things. We're talking about having our needs met. Guys, if you left the church last night hungry, that's your own fault. Because I will tell you this. I did not even need that second helping of pecan pie. But the But the program rules did not count yesterday, so I went ahead and ate them. I did not need that. But see, the problem in our lives is we see that. We say, I need. No, you don't need it. You want it. God didn't say, I'll give you everything you want. But what he's saying here is, I want to gather my people together so they have everything they need. And when our wants align with our needs, you know what we are? We're satisfied. But when our wants exceed our needs, let me tell you the truth, we'll never be satisfied. We'll never be satisfied as long as our wants exceed our needs. And so he says there's going to be a fat pasture. He didn't say fat pastor. As U-R-E. I'm going to have to take y'all back to spelling class. Verse 15, I will feed my flock. I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. Look at what he's saying. He says, I want to bring my people back together for two things, rest and peace. Oh, I love that. Don't you love that? Amen. God said, my people are scattered all over the place. They've been run off and run down. And I want to gather my people. I want my people back together. I want my people together in a place where they can all thrive, where they can all get along. Verse 16, I will seek that which was lost. That which was lost. Don't raise your hand, but how many of us ever looked at our lives and wondered where we are and who we are and why we are? What a mess we find ourselves in sometimes. And God says, I will look for those that are lost. That which was lost. And bring them again, that which was driven away. Again, we talked about that already. Those that have been driven away. And I will bind up that which was broken, and I will strengthen that which was sick, and I will destroy the fat and the strong, and will feed them without with judgment. What's he saying? He's saying, I want restoration and healing. How many of you want restoration and healing? We need to heal some of those relationships. Let me tell you, it's a sad thing when we get to the funeral time and people start saying, well, Pastor, if this one shows up, they're not welcome. Pastor, if this one shows up, make sure you have lots of Kleenex because they've been away and they didn't make their peace and they're probably going to be a mess. We need restoration and healing in our lives. God says, I want you to come together. I want to bring you restoration. I want to give you healing. I want to give you peace. I want to give you rest. Guys, what are we chasing? What are we doing with our lives if we don't have those things? We need healing and restoration and peace and rest. And God says, I'm going to gather my people. I'm looking for my people. I'm searching for my people. I'm seeking my people. I want to bring my people together and give them restoration and healing. Now, we read that last part, and I shouldn't have read that far because that goes with something else. He says in verse 17, as for you, O my flock, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I judge between cattle and cattle, between the rams and the he-goats. Seemeth it a small thing to you to have eaten up all the good pasture, but you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures? And to have drunk of the deep waters, but you must foul the residue with your feet. What's he saying there? He goes, look at verse 16. He says, I will destroy the fat and the strong and feed them with judgment. He says, I judge between cattle and cattle. He said, look, yes, I'm looking at you and judging you according to the truth, according to the word. But I'm also judging this. I'm judging how you treat others. I'm judging your relationships. He says, I judge cattle and cattle and rams and he-goats. He says, look, I'm looking at how y'all get along. It matters. It matters how we get along. And specifically here, he's judging the consideration, our treatment of others. Have we been selfish? Look, there's nothing wrong with success. What he's looking at, though, is our consideration for others while we thrive, while we prosper, while we succeed. Are we looking at the ones behind us and the ones beside us and trying to help them? Or are we putting our foot on their neck trying to get farther? I'm blessed. Aren't you blessed? God's been so good to us. But you know what God's looking to see? He's looking to see if we're sharing our blessings. Or if we're hoarding our blessings. If we're just taking it all for ourselves. Or are we giving to others? Are we sharing? Are we generous? Are we charitable? He says you come in here and you eat the field. You eat the pasture. You eat all you can. And then what you don't eat, you stomp all over. You got no consideration for your surroundings, for your environment. You got no consideration for those that are coming behind you. You see that? Do you see that there, what he's saying? Leaving nothing for others, and you're so focused on now, you have no concern for the future and those who follow. Your successors in the next generation. No consideration for how your actions affect other people. Are we training the next generation to follow God? To trust Him, to worship Him, to give to others, to finance the ministry. You understand how the church works? I mean, that money comes out of the blessings of the people. And if we don't give, the lights will go off, right? We're not having a problem. I hardly ever talk about giving to the church, but you know, it's important that we teach the next generation how the church functions. I was at the hospital one time and a lady asked me, she says, does the government give money to keep churches open? And she was as sincere as she could be. She really had no idea how the church is financed. You know how the church is financed? The members of the church give to the church. Keep it open. Keep the lights on. I've been, the first church I pastored, I remember I wasn't there long and the air conditioner went out and it was about $3,000. Wouldn't you like to get an air conditioner for $3,000 now? That was 30 years ago, and the deacon called everybody in, and there were six members of the church when I joined it. That made seven. I said, well, we got to get an air conditioner. And they started taking notes. How much can you give? How much can you give? And right there in that circle, we raised the money to pay for the air conditioner. But if, I mean, it's either that or sit in the heat. I thank God that we're not in that situation now. God's been good and you've been generous. But we've got to train the next generation to do that also. We've got to train people to give. We've got to train people not just to give to the church, but to give to others. We got to train the next generation to listen, to actually hear what's being said. You ever got in an argument with somebody because you just didn't listen to what they were saying? You misunderstood what they were. If we would learn to listen, to slow down and not respond, to listen when somebody comes to present us with something. And then not just listen, but pause after they finish talking. Pause long enough to come up with a response. Not try to develop our response while they're telling you the story, because it may be that you don't know the whole story yet. Listen. To have compassion. We got to train compassion. Because there'll be plenty of critics to those who are less fortunate and those who are having a hard time. We've got to train to have compassion and to have kindness and to be generous and to be charitable. And we've got to train them to be humble. And to magnify God. And to share the gospel. It's not enough that we're doing it. We've got to leave something behind for the next generation. We've got to leave that training so that they'll know what to do. In Psalm 23, he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Remember that part? You know what the surely, the goodness, and the mercy are? When those sheep are going through those fields, they leave behind fertilizer. And so what they're saying is that what I leave behind is going to generate growth for the future. Guys, that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be generating growth for the future. That means that we're supposed to leave Capitol Heights Baptist Church in a better position than it was when we came to it. In a way that it prospers. We're not talking about finances, but spiritually, where souls are being saved, where lives are being changed, where there's healing and restoration and recovery. where God is gathering his people as he searched them out and he sought them out and he's drawing them together to bring them to the restoration and the healing and the rest and the peace and the blessings. You see, it's not just something for us to enjoy now. It's something we've got to be considerate of those who come behind us. If we gobble up all the blessings and all the training and don't share that, then we are at fault. So we can't settle for, well, I got my salvation. My dad called me one day. He said, Derek, why do I need to tell people about Jesus? My sons, I got three sons, all three of them are saved. I feel like I've done my job. Is that how we are? As long as our kids are going to heaven, it doesn't matter about the neighbor's kids. As long as I'm going to heaven, it doesn't matter who you are. That's what Ezekiel's getting at here. We can't be so consumed with what we're consuming that we don't think about what's coming behind us and what we're leaving behind. We've got to be mindful of that. We look at verse 21. It says, because you have thrust with side and with shoulder and pushed all the disease with your horns till you have scattered them abroad. What Ezekiel's saying here is, again, he's judging them. He's telling them where they've gone wrong. He said, you fought to get ahead and you've pushed aside the needy. And unfortunately, I think we've reached a point with some churches, not our church, but in some Christians' minds, where we don't want the ones who need it the most to be in our church. Do you understand what I'm saying? All we want in our church are people who they're already saved, they're already baptized, they know the scripture, and they say amen and sing. We don't want anybody that's got needs or anybody that's struggling or anybody that's fighting sin. Let me tell you something. If we ever get that attitude, let's close the doors and go fishing. This church and every other church should be a place where sinners, the broken, the hurting, and the needy feel welcome and are sought out by the church. Who can I help? How can I make a difference? Guys, this is not show off day. I mean, I hope you do put on your Sunday best. But this is not an hour where we come just to pat each other on the back and tell each other how good we are. If anything, this hour is about exposing what still needs to be fixed. God says, I'm searching, I'm seeking, I'm trying to bring my people back. They've been scattered, they've been run off, they've been cast away, they've been pushed away. And they don't belong out there. They belong in here. My sheep. You see, what we need to do is we need to find those who already believe and encourage them to get active in the Lord's ministry again. And in that, doing that, when we come across somebody that doesn't know Jesus, we need to tell them about Jesus. We need to show them the way of salvation and share the gospel. Would you stand? Maybe here this morning you say, Pastor, I want to trust Jesus as my Savior. I want to have an assurance that I'm going to heaven. From where you stand this morning, you can pray from your heart to God's heart and say, God, I know I'm a sinner. And I know Jesus died for my sins too. And I ask you to forgive my sins and save my soul. Give my life to you in Jesus' name. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I'm saved. But I'm one of those that Ezekiel was talking about. I've been pushed aside and cast away and forgotten, and I just don't feel very wanted by the church. Let me assure you, God's been looking. God's been searching and seeking, and guess what? Now here you are. In a place where you're wanted. In a place where you're needed. In a place where you can make a difference. Won't you say to God, Lord, show me my part. Show me my part. I'll do your will. This is your opportunity. The altar's open. If you want to come and pray or you want me to pray with you, I'll be glad to. But please talk to God. Please open your heart to God right now. He said, I want to draw my people and give them restoration and peace and healing and rest. Glad you came this morning. Hope you'll be back tonight, 6 o'clock, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. And I love you. God bless you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Andy, if you will, dismiss us, please.